This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. The business station.
BFM 89.9. Good morning. You're tuned in to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Now, in conjunction with Valentine's Day tomorrow, today we're going to dive into money and relationships. Things like, how do you talk to your partner about money? And do you handle your finances together or separately? These are questions that sometimes can get a little sticky in relationships. And to help me explore this, I have in the studio with me Soraya Zainuddin, personal finance blogger with ringgitoringgit.com, and Aaron Tang, financial blogger with mr-stingy.com. Welcome back. It's been about 6 weeks since our financial resolutions episode.
Yes, that's true. Thank you for having us again.
Thanks for having us, Roshan. Glad to be back.
Hey, it's glad to have you back on the show. I think that episode got quite good responses. A lot of people found it very relatable. So let's hope that this episode does a similar sort of situation. Mm-hmm. I have to remind everyone that none of us here are certified financial planners. We're all talking from our personal experiences and how we have dealt with money in our own relationships. So I'm going to open this up to the two of you. How do you talk to your partner about money?
Okay, so for me, maybe it's a little easier because I like to talk about money all the time. developed kind of a reputation for that because I write about it publicly. But I think maybe tips for people who aren't used to talking to your partner about money.
This is from your personal experience.
Yeah, this is from my personal experience. I mean, thinking back when we started dating, myself and my wife, we started not like how much money do you earn or, you know, how much savings do you have? That's crazy, right? But we started with things like, you know, how was your family background like growing up? Or, you know, what do you feel about, you know, inheritance for your kids? Or, you know, so these are, I guess, subtle ways to approach the topic, but you kind of get an insight on how your partner thinks about money.
Oh, that's very insightful, Aaron. Thank you for that. Soraya, how about you?
I think similar to Aaron, I also kind of have a reputation for being a personal finance blogger. So it's not that my partner don't know what he's getting himself into. So I'm quite transparent about it. And it comes up quite organically in our relationship. And we do talk a lot about, from my side, things like new personal finance article ideas. I bounce that off him, or like money-making ideas. And from his side, he likes to ask about like how to optimize his finances, investment and things like that. And both of us also enjoy taking courses. So we talk about the courses that each of us takes. So it happens very, very organically.
And when you talk about money, does income come up? And how is that? Because I think that's a common sticking point. Do you talk about income? Do you not talk about income? How do you address that in your own lives? What have you learned?
I publish my annual income in my blog.
Okay, so that's
so
a different
he reads
thing.
That.
Full transparency.
Full transparency.
Yeah. Well, for me, I obviously don't publish my annual income. And we've had conversations, right? We have conversations about what level of comfort, what's expensive to you. We had those kind of conversations. But actual declaration of how much you really make, we only declare that after we got married. So if you haven't gotten to that level of discussion, it's okay. You can talk about the other things. Like, do you consider this a lot of money? How much do you think savings are enough? And I think these can give you clues to get started.
That's very interesting, because what you're doing there is you're essentially setting a scale, right? Because whether someone considers this a lot or this a little is very good. And I think honesty is very important. Speaking from my own personal experience, it is sometimes we feel like it's, we can't say that, oh, we can't afford something. And I think that's very detrimental to our own personal finances and our, I think, mental sanity if you cannot be honest with your own personal finances, because sometimes then we live on a budget that we can't sustain. Mm. So when it comes to this, I think a big part is expenditure. Mm-hmm. And so even if you don't declare your incomes to each other entirely, there is a certain understanding of what you can spend on and how much you can spend on certain things. Do you have those kind of rules in your own relationships?
Mm-hmm. For me, we have quite well-defined rules. And this comes from during our preparation to get married. Myself and my wife, we actually went for a course, and it was a really great course because one of the things they cover is money. So as what you said, Roshan, honesty or sort of laying out what the rules are is very important. So it prevents any misunderstanding. So like for us, what we do is we have our joint account, and this joint account will cover the expenses for both of us. Things like the food, the groceries, the bills, the laundry. So that comes from our shared account. And then we have our own personal accounts as well. This is for our sort of discretionary spending. And so we have the sort of joint stuff, which is our commitment. And then we have our independence as well.
I like that system. It's a very systematic.
Yeah. Our rules, I guess, is a lot more flexible when it comes to dates. For example, we do have this, like, let's take turns. Kind of thing. So he takes one meal and I take the next one and so on and so forth. In terms of what we want for ourselves individually, that's always we get what we want individually. I think that, you know, asking a lot of questions to your partner, that honesty, that communication have to come, right? And I think my own personal way of dealing with that is to not just ask a lot of questions, but basically like sit down together and like take a lot of quizzes together or go through articles, send that to him, and then kind of like, oh, what do you think of this one? Or what's your opinion about that one? And that really helps a lot in our relationship.
And just to clarify out there, I think, Aaron, you're the only married person in the room.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, yes. I think just to clarify also, you know, I only got to this level of onus, sort of declaration and all these rules after we got married. Before that, it was a process of getting to this stage. So,
and what was the process like?
I would recommend that at the start, you sort of try to understand your partner's backgrounds, you know, just sort of deepen the money topic as you go along, because you don't want to scare off your partner, right? Like the first date, you don't want to be asking like, what's your credit score?
That's a bad tip.
Yeah. So it was a process. And I think what really formalized it, again, I'll go back to that marriage course thing that we took. It literally told you that you do have to have that conversation. What are your feelings about money? You know, how much will we be saving? How much will we be spending for parents or holidays? And the more you lay this out, I think the better your marriage can be, because you reduce the space for disagreements.
And speaking of disagreements, Aaron, in the early days of building the system, so what were the common mistakes or the common the sticky points that you faced, and how did you get past them?
I think the challenges or some of the sticky points were we don't necessarily see 100% eye to eye with our partner on money, right? Some people call this, I think John Gottman calls this money maps. Like, what I believe about money is not necessarily what someone else believes about money. And I think I've been very fortunate, as in me and my wife, we are kind of aligned. But some of the things, you know, we may agree that we should save a certain amount, but that percentage between me and her may be totally different. Like, I may say 10%, whereas she believes in 15%. And I may believe in a certain kind of investment, which is higher risk, and she prefers something lower risk. So I think these are two examples. One is the quantum of, you know, how much we should allocate. And the second is in terms of investing, like what are the investments that we'll be investing in.
And how long, in terms of years, from the time you guys started dating, did you establish these systems, the whole joint account, and you pay for this and I pay for this, and a discretionary spending aside?
Yeah, so we've been dating for 6 years now, plus. And again, only after we got married, which was like a couple of weeks back, that we really established this new system. So I am still testing this out as we go along, but so far it's been going well.
Okay, and congratulations on
your
marriage.
Thank you.
Soraya, how about you? What were some of the sticking points from your side?
I think right now I'm not at the point of Aaron's where you've had a lot of time to talk about those things. I think I'm still figuring that out myself. At this point, I think the only sticky points that we come across is our tendency to eat out at expensive places. So when that does happen and affects our own finances, we are quite comfortable in telling each other like, oh, maybe we've been eating out too much. So we lay low for the next couple of weeks before that happens again. So at least now I know that we can bring up if we feel uncomfortable with spending too much on a certain expense.
And we're going to continue this discussion in just a little bit. Stay tuned. This is Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on Ringin' and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. This morning, I'm speaking to Soraya Zainuddin, personal finance blogger at Ringit or Ringit.com, and Aaron Tang, financial blogger with Mr.Stingy.com. And we're talking about relationships and the money dynamics that come with it. So the way our partners think about money, there's a lot of baggage that can come with that. In your own experiences, how have you approached the topic? How have you unraveled it or tried to understand that? We've established that communication is key, but what are some of the questions or the language that you can use here?
It's interesting that you brought up language because early on in our relationship, me and my partner, we took the love language quiz. And that, I think, is one of the best things that ever happened to us because immediately I understood that, okay, so this is his love language. Gift-giving is not one of them. So he doesn't feel love if I spend money to give him gift, which A, saves me money, and B, I can concentrate on the other things that makes him feel love. So do more of those. So I think that if you want to ask me what was really helpful, that was definitely one of it.
Aaron?
So going back to the concept of money maps, which I brought up a bit earlier, and you know, it sounds like a big term, but an example is some of us seem to naturally be savers, right? We like to save money. Some of us tend to naturally be spenders. We like to spend money, throw parties, you know, all that hoo-ha. And I think, you know, the conflicts can arise when you are with a partner that's a different sort of money belief from you. And this can come from anything, right? It can come from their family background. It can come because they had a traumatic experience when they were younger. So I think the key here is really to never feel that your money belief is superior to anyone else's money belief, because that leads to contempt. So contempt being that you feel that, oh, I'm a spender, so, you know, that saver is beneath me because he's not so stingy with his money. He's not doing it the right way. So I think the key to a successful relationship is to really try to understand the perspective from both angles and to never feel that your way is the better way.
Essentially having empathy for your partner.
Exactly.
It comes down to that. And realizing that, again, this is personal experience, but it is... if someone does something, I think we've all experienced this, not just with our partners, but our siblings or parents or friends. There is always a reason behind it, right? And we're looking at the symptom as opposed to the cause of whatever, why that behavior is manifesting itself. And with money, it can get particularly tricky because money has been for a long time seen as a taboo topic. You know, you don't talk about it. And that's why I'm very happy that both of you have come on and are willing to talk about this. Aside what we've talked about so far, do either of you have, you know, what are your best practices? Aside, like Aaron, aside your systems, and Soraya, aside the alternating who pays for food when you go out, what are the best practices or tips do you have?
I came across this one amazing book, which basically says that, I'm super summarizing it, which basically says that the key to a strong and lasting successful marriage or partnership is not having a lot of good, but is to reduce conflict as much as possible. It's a very defensive approach, I feel. So when it comes to relationships, I think that I might try and follow this approach for the rest of my relationship, because one big, huge fight could be, that's it, that's the end of it. So as much as possible, I want to avoid that. That could be, I don't know if that answers your question, but that is a key thing.
For a best practice, I just want to touch on something that Soraya actually brought up. She said that, you know, you alternate paying for going out or, you know, gifts and things like that. I think that's actually a very good tip because, you know, people have done research studies that it's actually better for you to take turns to treat each other in terms of happiness and, you know, everyone feeling loved than actually just splitting the bill 50-50. So it kind of achieves the same result, right? You know, you're still spending money, both of you are still spending money, but because you're taking turns to treat each other, to make each other feel special, I think that's actually very powerful. So I think that's a great tip for the listeners out there.
Yeah, and just to add on there, personally in my own life, I... there's a distinction between going out and eating and dates. Mm. So when we go out and eat, we split the bill. But if I say, hey, I'm taking you out, we're going to go to this place, then it's my treat. I'm paying for that. And she does the same for different things on different venues.
Maybe the underlying thing here is maybe financial autonomy, full stop. If either party don't have financial stability, we can't do that for our partners. And again, Aaron, you brought up a great point. No one of us wants to feel taken advantage of or to feel resentment within the relationship. So I actually took that pay each other's take turns paying each other dates from your tip. Before that, I used to do 50-50, which was a huge hassle. And yeah, I want to thank you for that tip.
Well, thank you.
So now I want to approach a topic that is a bit more complicated. And this, I think, I got from Ramit Sethi, who's also, he wrote this book called I Want To.
Oh,
yes.
I Will Teach You To Be Rich.
Yes, I Will Teach You To Be Rich. Yeah. So he talked about how in his own life, he can afford certain things that his wife can't. And the way he, so that there's some things like if he wants to go on a travel or holiday, he wants to travel business class and his wife doesn't care for those sort of things. So he pays for those sort of things. And I think this applies to things that also we can't afford because there are some things I can't afford or I don't value spending money on. So there is a certain level of, like you mentioned, Soraya, financial autonomy that goes to certain decisions or certain spending habits. How have you seen, do you see parallels of this in your own lives?
Well, my partner is quite frugal, so none of us spends big. But that being said, he is saving up for musical instruments, so that for him is a huge purchase. For everything else, he doesn't really spend that much, to be honest.
Yeah, we see it in our relationship as well. So like you mentioned, we might value different things. And, you know, she might, for example, value more of the beauty or healthcare kind of things, whereas I may value more of the investment finance kind of thing. So I think it's healthy that both of us have some level of independence. That's why I believe in the system where you have your commitment, which is your shared pool, and then you have your own money, which you can spend on your own things. I think I just want to add to that is that a friend once told me, and there was a lot of wisdom in that because we were speaking about relationships and finances. It gets easier when both of you are financially stable. You know, there's a lot of stress that comes when people are in financial difficulty. So, you know, we speak a lot about, you know, during your other shows, we speak a lot about good habits for getting financially stable. I think that all plays into the relationship aspect because if you're struggling with money, it takes a toll on your relationship.
Yeah, and I think that can spill over in many different ways.
Definitely.
So just to roll back a bit to the joint account that you have, the commitment account, I think that's what you called it. What kind of ratios play into that? Do you both commit a certain percentage? Is it a flat fee per se, like a certain number of
flat fee? Yeah.
Like how you put it. We have a sort of a percentage ratio base. So obviously one of us earns higher than the other. So that partner that earns higher is like progressively taxed higher as well. So it's a sign of a capitalist / socialist kind of system. Yeah.
Progressive taxes.
Yeah. Progressive taxes, yeah. Bernie Sanders, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that plays into the relationship dynamic, right? There's a certain level of empathy and understanding that both may not come from the same financial background, financial knowledge, or financial standing. And that's very important. If you want to make the relationship work, again, I'm no expert here. This is just all personal experience and learnings from over the years. Understanding that the other person may not be able to understand or commit to the same level in terms of finances or in terms of spending or anything like that is very, very important. You have to seek first to understand, to be understood, to pull something from Stephen Covey.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Like that too.
Yeah, that's the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That's a classic right there. So before we end, let's talk about what have been some of the biggest challenges for the two of you in terms of money and relationships. Has anything come up that required you to really think out of the box?
as of right now, my partner and I are kind of planning to get married. So we are trying to navigate the whole wedding planning situation, which maybe, Erin, after this, we can have a conversation about that. It's not just about each other's expectations. Now, family's expectations come into play as well. So that's something that I'm navigating right now.
Actually, Erin, let's talk about that.
Wow. We need another episode.
So, see, I think in relationships, especially the ones who have been around a bit longer, that becomes a sticking point because while I personally may not want to spend a lot of money on a wedding, maybe the family expectations are different. As someone who's recently gone through a wedding, what were key elements to know to deal with it?
Well, I've been, again, very fortunate and very blessed because I think both parents on both sides and also my partner, we were all sort of very understanding and accommodative of each other. I think, again, the key is to have a sufficient planning stage because you don't want to be doing it under stress, right? You don't want to be planning, for example, a wedding. Yeah, let's do it next month. It sounds romantic and cool, but then you put yourself under a lot of time stress and also money stress. Like for me and my partner, we gave ourselves like 1 year to plan for it. So that really helped not just in terms of planning, but also in terms of even paying for things. We actually had a longer runway. So, you know, you have to put deposits for things like restaurants or photography. And if you are doing it in just a short period of time, it's going to really stress you out financially.
Erin, how about one challenge that was particularly tough?
I would say the challenge hasn't come so much on during the wedding. But again, it goes back a bit on the investment kind of question. So it's not really on the spending, more on like what do we invest in. And again, I perhaps take higher risks and she perhaps takes lower risk. So I think the challenge or sort of talking points that we've had is, should we invest in this? Are we being too aggressive? Are we not being careful with our money? And I think fortunately we've managed to come to a sort of a compromise that, you know, we'll be careful, and then there are some parts of our portfolio that we can put more aggressive, and you know, we can do whatever we want independently.
On that note, two of you, thank you so much for joining me today. A happy Valentine's Day to the both of you. I've been speaking to Soraya Sanyudin, personal finance blogger at Ringgit or Ringgit.com, and Erin Tung, financial blogger at Mr.Stingy.com. This was Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. If you've got any questions, queries, or suggestions, please get in touch at ringgit@bfm.my. Up next is the 10 a.m. news bulletin and then Enterprise. I'm Roshan Kanasan, signing off for the morning run, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.